He has given us His Word. And this evening I want us to reflect upon what He has given to us in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Long ago, and many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Let us pray. Father, indeed You are glorious, majestic in power. And we thank You that You, the one who created the heavens and the earth, were willing to come down to us, to be born of a virgin, to reveal Yourself to us that we might know salvation from our sins. We pray this night that as we look into Your Word, that You would work by Your Spirit in our hearts, that You would grant hearts of faith, that You would grant eyes to see and ears to hear, that we would pay heed to Your Word, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know if you're at all like me. I hope maybe that you're not. Sometimes I get questions in my mind and I quickly go to Google and I find the answers to them. Or at least I hope I find the answers that are somewhat accurate. This week I was thinking about the number of emails that I have yet to delete from my email box, perhaps 1,000 or more that are in there, many of which I should have deleted a long time ago. But the question came to mind, I wonder how many emails are transmitted in a day? And Google gave me the answer. There was a evaluation done of that in August of 2015, and apparently at that time, there were more than 205 billion emails transmitted in a day, which works out to be about 2.4 million a second, and 74 trillion emails a year. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? The amount of communication that is going on in our world. And that's not even to mention Facebook and Twitter and all the other forms in which we communicate. We are in a world of communication explosion. And yet, sadly, in the midst of this great communication explosion, we really know less of those around us than we once knew. We receive all of these communications, but do we really know those who are around us? Do we know our neighbors as we once did? Someone was just lamenting the other day that it used to be that people would just stop in and visit. Doesn't happen much anymore, does it? But we're in a world in which we communicate, but we don't really reveal much about ourselves. And those who communicate with us don't reveal much about them. It's all sort of surface level. But the reality is that God, when He communicated with us, communicated something wonderfully deep about Him. He revealed who He was. And the author to Hebrews says that in the Old Testament times, He spoke through the prophets. There were prophets in the New Testament time. The greatest of the Old Testament prophets was John the Baptist, who had come to prepare the way of the Lord. But he says here that long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. God spoke. The Creator of the universe spoke. He revealed himself. He showed his character. But then he says, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. There were many communications in times past, but now there is one final communication. It is the communication in his Son. The eternal Son of God, who came to earth and who was born, who took on flesh, who became a man. What a marvel that is. The eternal Son of God would leave the sweet fellowship with the Father and with the Spirit and would come to earth to be born in a lowly cattle stall. To be born of the Virgin. This evening, as we celebrate, and tomorrow as we celebrate the birth of Christ, in whom alone there is life, I want you to think about three things. Three things that this text very clearly teaches us. First of all, that Jesus Christ, the Word incarnate, came to be the revealer of the Father, the one who would reveal his Father to us. You know, when we think about the prophets, we do a disservice to them if we think that they were merely about speaking of the future. They did speak about the future. They talked about things to come. But their primary job, in fact, their main job, were to be ambassadors, to be agents. They were to be spokesmen. God spoke through the prophets. And so instead of just foretelling, they were forthtelling. They spoke God's word to God's people. And it's amazing when you go back in the Old Testament to see the way in which God revealed himself through the prophets. When it came time to calling Moses to the great task to which God had called him, leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, he revealed his name to Moses in the time of great crisis, and he said to him there, I am Yahweh, I am the Lord. To Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob, I appeared as El Shaddai, or God Almighty, but to you I'm revealing my name Yahweh, my name the Lord. You see, he had revealed himself to Abraham. He had shown to Abraham that he was a God who was powerfully able to bring to pass what he promised. But now, as Moses was in the midst of crisis, God promised and showed by his name Yahweh that he was able and faithful to bring to pass what he promised. Faithful to his covenant promises to Abraham. And all throughout the ages, God would show to his people his character by revealing his name. Little by little, he would show who he was. Until finally, he would give the final revelation in his Son. He has spoken to us by his Son. He wanted to make his glories known through his Son. I don't know whether you've ever met anybody through correspondence. You email perhaps back and forth. In the old days, you send a letter perhaps to someone who was overseas, someone you had never met before. But it's far different story, isn't it, to meet someone in person. It's one thing to communicate through letter. It's another thing to meet them in person. God not only spoke through the prophets, revealing his character, but now he has come in person. That is, in His beloved Son. And so to see Jesus was to see and know the Father. Just before His death, Jesus, speaking to Thomas and to Philip, they were wondering what He was speaking about. They were wondering exactly what He was telling them when He told them not to be troubled. And in John chapter 14, Philip asks the question, show us the Father. He wants to see the Father. Jesus says to him, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. For Christ had come from the Father's throne. He had come to take on flesh and to show us the Father. One of our hymns states it so well. He left the Father's throne above, so free, so infinite His grace. Humbled Himself, so great His love, and bled for all His chosen race. He humbled Himself. He took on our humanity. And why? To make the Father known. Martin Luther, that great reformer, said, the mystery of the humanity of Christ, that He sunk Himself into our flesh, is beyond all understanding. He came to make the Father known. He revealed the Father to us. But not only that, the text says here that He radiates the Father's glory. He's not the reflection of the Father's glory. He radiates the Father's glory. Now, when we think about the moon, and we've seen some pretty amazing moons, haven't we? Bright and shining and moons that are just glorious as you look up into the sky. How important for us to remember that the moon receives its light from the sun and simply reflects those beams from the sun to the earth. The moon itself doesn't possess or emanate any light. It radiates the light. It reflects the light. But Jesus doesn't just reflect the light. He radiates the light. He is as a sunbeam coming down from the sun. He says in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Jesus, as the light of the world, shines in the midst of our darkness. He radiates the glory of God, a glory which is most fearful to those who have not looked to Christ by faith, those who continue to walk in darkness. But to those who walk in the light, a most welcome and rejoicing means of their salvation, Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says this, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's in Christ and Christ in you that is the hope of glory. He is the exact representation, he goes on to say here, the exact representation of the Father. I don't know whether you've ever gone over in Pennsylvania to a store by the name of Wendell August Forge, but I encourage you to go over there sometime. And if you don't want to spend a lot of money, don't stay very long in the storeroom. Go to the very back where they're actually working. And they'll let you tour through the back of it to see what is going on back there. Storeroom scares me a little bit because of the price tags. But in the back, you get to see the way in which they have worked. And they pound out the mold, if you will, the stamp that they're going to use as they make their metalwork. It's an amazing process. But the beauty of the finished product comes because they first made a stamp. And then they can make many copies from that stamp. Well, Jesus here is called the exact representation of the Father. He is the exact image of the Father. The die has been cast. Christ, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, has come and He has taken on flesh and He bears the exact image of the Father, radiating the Father's glory. And as He is the great prophet who reveals God's will for our salvation, so, friends, He is the great King who rules and sustains all things. Look at what it says. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Imagine that. Well, we have great scientific evidence for why the universe is upheld. But we're told here that it is God who upholds the universe. Christ, the representative of the Father who came to reveal Him and radiate His glory, is the one who holds all things together by the word of His power. He governs and He rules and He keeps all things together. But the third thing I want you to see tonight is that He is also the great Redeemer. Look at what it says concerning Him. After making purifications for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Christ the great prophet is Christ the great King, but He's also the priest who has given His very life. He has given the perfect sacrifice as the Redeemer. The perfect sacrifice for sin. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. Up to this point, priests were offering sacrifices year after year after year after year, first for themselves and then for the sins of the people. And the sacrifices were a reminder to them of their sin, but they did not fully satisfy God's justice. But Christ, we're told here, made full and complete satisfaction, purification for our sins and for the sins of all who believe in Him. There's nothing left to accomplish. Jesus Christ, we're told here, is seated at the right hand of the Father. His work is finished. He has secured our way to God. There is no need for any further work. There's no need for us to try and strive to save ourselves, because that's impossible. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved, only the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sad to me to watch, but it's true, isn't it, that we live in a world where people are constantly striving to save themselves. They think if they're just good enough, if they just help out enough, if they're just kind enough, surely they will win the good graces of God and enter into heaven. But friends, nothing could be further from the truth. It doesn't matter how many times we try and how great our effort to save ourselves, we cannot do it. Our greatest works, says Isaiah the prophet, are as filthy rags. But Jesus Christ is able to do what we are unable to do. He made purification for our sins. As our great high priest, He entered into the presence of God, and He gives to us, if we look to Him by faith, a righteousness that is not our own, but received by faith. This is the joy and the wonder of this season. As we celebrate the incarnation, as we celebrate the birth of Christ, it is this, that Jesus Christ, the Word of God, has come into the world and taken on flesh. And so let me ask you tonight, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you listened to the voice of the perfect prophet who came to reveal the Father? Have you come under and surrendered and submitted to the rule and reign of this great King, the King of glory? Have you given yourself to the One, trusting in His righteousness, the righteousness of the One who gave His life on the cross that you might have forgiveness and everlasting life? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Jesus Christ is coming again. Faithful and true is the Word of God. He is coming again. Let me ask you, have you looked to Him in faith? Will you be found in Him at the second coming? May it be this night. My prayer for you this night is that you can rejoice in Jesus Christ the Savior and find your assurance in Him, for it is in Christ alone that we can have salvation. The One who has come to reveal the Father, who radiates the glory of the Father, and who is the only Redeemer, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let us pray. O gracious God, we come with thankful hearts this night that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We thank You that You have spoken to us in Your Son. And I pray this night that all who hear Your Word would look to Christ by faith and know the wonders and the glory of salvation in His name. Bless us, we pray, through Christ our Savior. Amen. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. The true light, which gives light to all men, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. But to all who received him, he gave the power to become children of God, children born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.